Our scripture reading for today is the standard epistle lesson for Palm Sunday, taken from Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. You probably have some keys or a fob or something on you today. It's at the root of why you have to have that in your pocket or your purse. It's why we have locks on our cars and on our res hall doors and on our homes. It's why we have a standard for exchange, like a dollar bill, and every country has that. It's why we have banks. It's why we have traffic lights. It's why we have to have passwords to get into our computer files. It's why there are labor disputes. It's why there are labor unions. It's at the root of all conflicts between parents and children, and the troubles between siblings. It's why theme parks have to post rules about not cutting in line. It's the reason why we have courts and lawyers and contracts. It's the reason why there are divorces. And it's at the root of all conflicts and wars between nations and countries. And it's even the reason why you're going to have a will drawn up before you die. Selfishness. We are self-centered, self-focused people. That's the reason for all of this, and I could go on and on. Just scroll through the news for today. Just look at all the different news items and think to yourself, at the core of all of these is usually at least one, if not two or more, being self-centered and self-focused. And the same selfishness that places high finance con men behind bars, or that causes well-known athletes to cheat on their spouses, or the selfishness that causes robberies and murders and rapes, or that causes Vladimir Putin to send his army into Ukraine, all of that self-centered, self-absorbed selfishness is alive in the heart of every person in this room. And that's hard for us to take, to face sometimes. The core response in us to almost anything we see is, what's in it for me? What's best for me? What am I going to get out of this? Psychologists can demonstrate this in little children, they claim scientifically, as young as 16 months old. We know that it goes back even deeper than that, to the very point of our conception. But even at the age of 16 months old, they're able to determine a self-centeredness even in little children. It's why your parents had to try and force you to say thank you to people, to remember to say thank you. Man, how often did I hear that as a kid? Or when I got gifts at my confirmation, to make sure that I would write out thank you cards. Why was that so hard for me to do? Why was it so hard for me to think about the other people rather than myself, with that little amount of time it would take to make a little note? Self-centeredness. It's just boiling down inside of all of us. And as we get older and more mature, we learn how to hide it a little better, but it's still there. It's just baking away down inside of us. It's not our first impulse to think of other people ahead of ourselves. How different that is, how contrasted that is to the Son of God that Paul reminds us about in our text. Listen to what he says about the Son of God and his mindset. Being in the form of God, he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now, you and I can try to imagine in our minds what it would be like to really lower ourselves to some job or something, or maybe lower yourself down to try to put yourself in the stage of being a first grader or something like that, or maybe even trying to think what would it be like to be a goldfish in a goldfish bowl. But think what's going on here. The Son of God, the one who rules all things, who laid out the entire universe, who knows everything about every star and everything that's ever been created, that powerful God decides to come down to earth and to lower himself to become one of us and to live in this sin-filled world with death in it, and even takes and sets his mind on going to that death and being treated like a common criminal for us. That's a whole different mindset from what we see in ourselves. And it's hard for us to comprehend just how dramatic that lowering process was, that humiliation was for God himself. And the motivating thing in his heart, really, when it comes down to it, was you. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're at in life, where you're from, how you think or anything. No matter who you are, even if you're not a Christian, the motivating factor in his heart was you. Because he knew that for you to have things right between you and God, he would have to go through this. For you to have a record of holiness before God someday, he would have to go through this. For you to get out of your grave someday, he would have to go through this. The Nicene Creed states it so well. Who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven? An early writer in the church named Cyril says this. I've always loved this quotation. The Son of God joined our nature to himself so that he might restore it to its original beauty. So if you think of the things that take place just in this Holy Week, starting with Palm Sunday, here comes the King of Heaven down on a donkey on a mission that he knows is going to end up on Friday in his crucifixion, horrible death. The night before that death, when he's with his disciples, not only does he wash their feet, but he knowing what's coming, he establishes a special meal for them to be reassured that their sins are forgiven. And even while they're driving stakes through his wrist into the cross, he's praying on behalf of the soldiers. This is the mindset of Christ, thinking of all of us before himself. And the fact that he has considered you and me so highly is why you and I have such tremendous benefits from Holy Week. It's why we have peace with God and we have the hope of an eternal life. Martin Luther once said, having faith as a Christian is like having two hands, one that reaches up into heaven to grab a hold of Christ and what he's won for you, and the other is reaching down to earth to your fellow man. How can I apply the amazing, wonderful grace and forgiveness I have in Christ and how he thought of me before himself? How can I apply that now in my life as to how I treat people? And that's what Paul is saying to us. Let this mind of Christ that you are attached to, that you're going to benefit from, let this mind also be in you when it comes to how we look at others. May the blessings of our Lord's crucifixion and especially his resurrection resonate in our hearts and ears and minds, and may it also motivate us to show that same tremendous love and grace to others that he has shown to us that's going to take us to heaven. Amen.